Welcome to Packet Pushers, the data networking industry podcast where folks who build networks for a living gather in the virtual conference room to exchange opinions, talk technology, and chat with excellent industry guests. Today we have one such guest in the form of the Cisco Borderless Networks team who is sponsoring the podcast today to share with us about the current state of their WAN optimization or WAS products. I am Ethan Banks, network engineer, CCIE, and blogger up at packetpushers.net. You can follow me on Twitter at ecbanks, and if you're still on Google+, you can share with me there as well. And of course, Mr. Greg Farrow is with us today. And what is going on, Greg?
I've got the pre-Christmas fevers. I know it's this show will go out in early January, but pre-Christmas it is, and my care factor is rapidly approaching zero as I wind down for the year.
Yeah, it seems to be the way. We had had a holiday get together at work, and everyone's kind of in that mode of, I need a break. It's the end of the year, and this has been an exhausting month, and we're not even at Christmas Day yet. So yeah, for sure.
The change freeze came in last Friday. That's it. I've clocked off.
Yeah, exactly right. Joining us from Cisco to discuss the WAS products is Liad Ofek. And Liad, why don't you introduce yourself to the Packet Pushers audience and tell the folks what your role is on the Borderless team.
Hi, everyone. My name is Liad Ofek. I'm the technical marketing manager for the WAS product line. I'm at Cisco with the application delivery business unit. As a technical marketing organization, we are actually assisting our product managers in defining our WAS product. We're also working with our field on delivering the WAS message to our customers and partners and making sure they have all the information they need on how our product works and how we can enable them to better compete in this market.
Now, I think as we start this conversation here about WAS, there's going to be a number of engineers who are sitting with crossed arms and furrowed brows as they think back to maybe a bake-off they did 2 or 3 years ago where they had WAS competing up against Riverbed and maybe some other players and ended up with something other than WAS. You know, there's a bit of a reputation out there that the product has for being a little bit difficult to deploy, and the interface is kind of a challenge, and you got to do a lot of tuning to make it go. But I know you guys came on the show today because you're telling me that things have changed.
Yes, things have significantly changed. And some of the comments you mentioned are true probably for about 3 to 4 years ago, right? This is where we launched our product with our 4 release, which, you know, to be honest, was a little bit more complicated than our current product and took a little while to get up and running and install. Since then, the product has evolved significantly. And from an ease of use, from scalability and quality, we put a lot of efforts and a lot of engineering that just work on the product and make it robust and easy to use. And that has changed significantly in the last 3 years.
Since what version of WAS would you say that things have really turned around, and what's the version state nowadays?
Well, the current version that is shipped is release 4.5, right? Version 4.1 was actually a major release after our first initial release of 4.0. This is where we added a lot more functionalities from an optimization perspective. We had several application-specific optimization, and we also revamped our central manager GUI. We did have some challenges in the early releases of 4.1 from a quality perspective. We added millions of new codes to the product, so the early days of 4.1 were a little bit rough. However, with our committed and investment in the product, we actually were able to improve some of the challenges we had in the early days of 4.1. And probably from release 4.17 and above, we got a very, very robust code. Again, throughout the years, we released 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, and 4.5, which added additional more functionalities, both from a usability perspective, ease of use, and new functionalities. So again, from a ease of use perspective, I'm talking about, you know, probably 2 to 3 years back where we actually were able to improve the product significantly. So from version 4.2 and above, we were able to solve some of these challenges.
Now, the WAS platform has really become more diverse as well, in that it's not just a box you rack now. There's really other ways that WAS services are being delivered by Cisco, including integration with the ISRG2 router family and right into iOS, there's WAS Express. Do you want to talk about some of those other options?
Yes. One of our key advantages is actually the comprehensive portfolio, right? The fact that as a customer, you can choose any version of WAS, which can work with all the other options and can be managed from the same central manager, right? You know, we have appliances, and we actually just launched our new Wave appliances, which we significantly improved the scalability and performance of these appliances. You would install them either at the branches or your data center. They can be installed either inline, just between your switch and router edge, or you can use what we call out of path, so you can redirect traffic to them using protocols such as WCCP. and then redirect back to the network. As you mentioned, we also have a router integrated solution. So mainly for remote sites, this is where you want to reduce the footprint of your network services. We have two form factors. One is actually run WAS as a software on the ISR G2 Service Ready Engine, SRE. In this case, we are, you know, we one of the software services that can run on these latest SREs, which can run. It's a single card that you can load multiple services on that, so, such as UC, security. Even it can run VMware Server and run some Windows Server on it. The same card can run WAS as well. And it has the complete offering of WAS, you know, very similar to the appliances. The second option is to have WAS integrated in iOS. And this is mainly positioned for small sites or even some of the routers we have which are fixed that don't have an option to get an SRE card in them, right? I'm talking about the 800 series, 1900 series router. And the unique thing with WAS Express is just a software feature in iOS, right? As long as you have maximum memory on the box, you can just enable, and a license, of course, you can enable WAS with one command, just WAS enable on the interface, and then you're up and going. And in the data center, you need to have a WAS appliance that can communicate with that remote sites. And WAS Express enable you to double your bandwidth very easily. It does apply our TCP optimization, our DRE and LZ, and provide very good benefits for application performance.
So just to cover that off for the people who maybe aren't completely familiar with that, to get WAN acceleration, you have to have two ends. You have to have a remote end, which is where your branch office is normally, or the far side, and that means running a WAS agent. Now, the WAS agent can either run in iOS on the router, and when you're doing compression and optimization, you need lots of memory, or you need a dedicated appliance. So Cisco's either got an iOS option for small bandwidths on small routers, or they have the SRE engine, which is basically a universal card that goes into the NM slot in 3900 routers and so forth, 3800s, and it runs like a little Intel server in there that can run the WAN acceleration. And then at the head end, where your WAN is, say, in the central office or your central data center, you have a WAN appliance which then does the decompression or the compression as it goes back out to the branch office. And that is the fundamental building blocks around how Cisco's WAS solution goes together, is to either have dedicated appliance, a module that goes into your existing router, or for very small, very limited functionality, you can actually have a WAS engine inside the iOS. Is that sort of the productization there?
Yes, this is correct. I think you summarized it very well. You need two devices to do that. And again, it can be any combination of appliance versus SRE versus WAS Express. There's another form factor which I didn't mention. It's actually a virtual appliance, right? This is where we want to address the cloud scenario and cases where you don't have the ability to actually install a physical appliance. This is where we introduced our virtual WAS, which can run on an ESX or ESXi hypervisors. And then it can enable agile virtual machine-based deployments, right? Because you can actually attach WAS to a virtual machine. And with our integration with the Nexus 1000V, you can very easily attach a WAN optimization server to any VM that you're launching. So that's one of the key benefits of our virtual platform.
That's a really exciting opportunity, that, because you could actually say, you know, really, I only want to accelerate, like when you actually put a WAS appliance in for an entire WAN link, you have a sort of a problem there where you actually need to buy enough capacity for everything. And that can be a bit of a challenge. You can have these things where you've got enough WAN acceleration performance, but you need to buy it for the entire, but really you just want to accelerate one or two applications. And then in the head end, you need to have this box which sits in the way. But if you can actually terminate the WAN acceleration right on the server, like just on the network adapter, the virtual network adapter, which is almost where the Nexus 1000V sits, you actually have an interesting deployment model where it actually only compresses that subset of traffic related to that server.
That's right. And it's get associated with that application server virtual machine as they get instantiated or moved. So, you know, when we look into cloud and where companies can actually burst into the cloud and the VM can move, right, that configuration or that association to a WAS service can be attached to that VM. And that's what Nexus 1000V and its VPAT technology can do.
So turn that into something practical that people are doing today. It's not uncommon for people to have two or even three data centers where a particular application server sits. Now, obviously, with functionality like Lisp and OTV, which we've covered in other podcasts, you might want to migrate a VM from, you know, data center A to data center B. The IP address stays the same, but you can't break the WAN acceleration either because that's in flight. So having the WAS attached to the Nexus 1000V, the Nexus 1000V speaks to Lisp and also integrates, well, not so much with OTV yet, but it's coming. You've got a solution where your server can migrate using VMware from site to site. The WAN accelerator will flip as the Nexus 1000V configuration goes from site to site, and you have no interruption to the end user.
That's correct. That's exactly how it works.
And that's a feature that nobody else can match. Because only Cisco's got the breadth of product that can bring that to bear.
That's right. That's right. And I think the last form factor that we haven't mentioned yet is WAS Mobile, which is actually a solution for mobile workers, right? We had a lot of requests in the past that that's great. You know, I get my optimization where I'm in the office. What happens when I go home or when I travel, right? How can I make sure I get the best out of my connection there? And this is where we have WAS Mobile, which is a software that you can install, again, in the data center closer to your VPN concentrator. That's the WAS Mobile server. And then on the client, you install a small client that then communicates with that WAS Mobile server. And it provides the same, similar functionality that you would get from an appliance perspective.
And that WAS Mobile client does not have a dependency on any particular VPN client, I don't believe, right?
No. It's actually worked with most of the common VPN clients out there.
Yeah, so you can license this and then deploy it out to, I've got hundreds of mobile workers that we deal with, and they're always dealing with large attachments or needing to things as simple as expense reports that some folks don't know to scan their receipts as JPEGs and instead scan them as uncompressed TIFFs. And oddly enough, it seems to take a long time for them to upload it. Well, you pump that through a WAS mobile connection, and things should get a little bit better for them when they do things like that.
Yes, that's right. One of the differences, you know, when you look into a single user mobile user is, you know, the quality of their connection. If it's a 3G or a wireless connection somewhere, you know, when they travel at a hotel or a Starbucks, you know, this is where TCP itself may not operate in the best way possible, just considering the packet loss or connections going up and down. This is where WAS Mobile can actually get the best out of your application performance, making sure that we maintain session consistency. We have a very robust mechanism to overcome some of these packet loss environments and deliver the best experience. There's a similar functionality that exists on the appliances when you look into satellite communication, right? That's another area where packet loss is much higher compared to terrestrial links. And WAS in all the other form factors with our TCP optimization can also overcome that and make sure you fully utilize your connections.
Now, there's another play here that's very similar to what you were just talking about with the ISRG2. And I think the smallest ISRG2 unit that you could actually put an SRE in and then load WAS on top of that would be the 2911. In fact, I've been buying some of those just so that I might have the option someday of putting the SRE in with WAS loaded on top of it. And from Cisco's perspective, obviously this was an important play.
Right. So as I mentioned, if you look on a smaller form factor, yes, the SRE, the lowest model is the 2900s. If you look on 1900 routers, the 1941, 1921, and the 800, this is where WAS Express can be used as a software. Or if you still want to have the full functionalities of WAS, we have very small appliances as well. The Wave 294 that can support up to 200 TCP connections, which correlates to about 20 users and supports up to 10 megabit WAN bandwidth, it can be installed next to your smaller routers, you know, with very attractive price. However, if you want to really get the integrated solution, this is what WAS Express. It can be enabled on these smaller form factors, the 1941, 1921, and even the 800 series routers, the 880 and 890 series. WAS Express can be enabled on them with just an enable command and W bandwidth.
Okay, so really then for the branch office, the remote office, there's several options. Not only is there the option to integrate tightly with an ISR router so that router is not merely doing just termination of your WAN circuit, which is these days that's a gimme function. You assume it does that. Now you want to add all the other, take advantage of that CPU and memory that's in that router and do other things. You can do WAS Express. You can do WAS on top of an SRE. Or if you don't feel comfortable, you prefer to separate functions, you can have a Wave 294 you're suggesting is one of the possible standalone appliances that you put out at a remote site.
That's correct.
Okay, so moving ahead into 2011, Cisco really did some interesting network modules and some partnerships to push the WAS functionality even further. The Citrix Xen Desktop comes to mind.
Yes, that's a very exciting area, you know, for us. You know, when you look on VDI overall, right? VDI really changes the behavior on the network, right? If you look on the way that, you know, traditional desktops were deployed, you would have all the applications installed on your desktops, and then they would communicate with servers in the data center or in the cloud using protocols such as HTTP, SIFS, MAPI, and other protocols. Now when organizations are looking to virtualize the desktop now runs in the data center, right? And the only protocol that you would see running over the wide area network are the display protocols for this virtual desktop environment. For in a Citrix case, it will be their ICA protocol. And these protocols, in many cases, if it's the Citrix protocol, the VMware protocol, or Microsoft, and if it's RDP in that case, they're not as efficient over the WAN. And the more users you would add, or the more heavy application you add with more images or video, you know, they're going to consume more bandwidth. And a lot of organizations are facing challenges migrating to VDI because for the number of users they had to have on these remote sites, they needed to upgrade the bandwidth, or in some cases could not really get an adequate level of performance. This is where WAN optimization is a key enabler to VDI traffic or VDI stations on remote sites. And
so what you're saying is that there's a need here for users that are doing all their desktop remotely. It all lives in a remote data center. When they want to do the fancy stuff, they want to do things that are eating up a whole lot of video cycles, such as a streaming video. Then you can optimize that stream and give them an experience that is more like their what we would consider a traditional desktop.
Yes, yes. So again, you mentioned video. Printing is another challenge, right? So because, you know, when you have your desktop now hosted in a data center, the printer, the physical printer, is still at the branch. So you need that print job to be printed. And doing that with the virtual desktop data center consumes a lot of bandwidth. So what WAS can do, it can give you that LAN-like experience. It can give you an HD quality video and a faster print jobs. However, in order to do that, you need to apply your optimization techniques on these display protocols. And in Citrix case, it's the ICA protocol. Now, Citrix actually have, by default, both compress and encrypt the protocol. So in order to apply optimization, you need to be able to disable that functionality, or at least intercept that and work on the raw data in order to get the best caching and compression benefits. And what we have done is we partnered with Citrix. We have a joint solution where we validate with Citrix. So Citrix can support our solution as well. And it's also very important because we can apply our optimization in a zero-touch deployment. We don't need to tell customers go and disable or compression or encryption. We are transparently intercepting that ICA encrypted traffic and are able to retrieve the right information in order to compress and apply our optimization for that encrypted flow. And that's the key feature we announced in our latest WAS 4.5 release.
That obviously is because you're tied in tightly with Citrix.
That's right. We've done it as part of actually our complete Cisco VXI offer, right? When we look on VDI, Cisco has several elements to actually enable organization to deploy VDI. You know, if you look from a data center perspective, you know, we have our UCS platform that can host these virtual desktops. You know, moving to the client side, Cisco has released several thin clients to actually run the virtual desktop on. And then in the network itself, in addition to Power over Ethernet that can provide power to these thin clients, we also have WAS, which is embedded, again, in our routers or in appliances, which can then improve the VDI performance. So part of our virtual experience infrastructure, WAS is a key element to provide an overall VDI experience to customers. And again, some of the main benefits of WAS is that now you can actually run two, sometimes three times the number of users on an existing branch compared to without WAS, right? As I mentioned, you can get your print job running. You can get, you know, the video quality that you would experience with a real desktop through this VDI with WAS enabled on it.
Cisco has really gotten to the point with WAS where it's full-featured. There's several different ways you can deploy it. There's a lot of flexibility. There is now cloud awareness. There's integration with 1000V where you can attach WAS directly to essentially to a server profile. Again, going back to really how we opened the conversation, which was there's a lot of guys out there who still have cross-armed and furrowed brows and are going, yeah, but it didn't do so well back when I looked at it, you know, a while ago. I mean, is there... Have you guys put WAS out there in some more bake-offs with everybody's current WAN optimization technology? I mean, how is the testing going out there?
Yes, actually, that's a great question because we have just finished a review with Network World, right? And they have released a new product review of the latest WAVE appliances and the latest WAS software. In that review, again, it's an independent review in their lab, they actually validated our higher-end WAVE 8541 capabilities and proved that it can handle up to 150,000 concurrent TCP connections and can also be installed on a 2 gigabit WAN one link. And in that review, we got very good results on performance. And another key factor was the simplicity and ease of use. Some of the new enhancements we have done with our WAS 4.4 release, we are actually able to integrate some of our application performance monitoring product, the Cisco NAM, into our WAS Central Manager. You know, previously we had Cisco NAM that can run on, as a virtual service on our WAVE platforms. What we've done with WAS 4.4, we integrated some of its reporting into the Central Manager. So now users from a single management station measure the performance of application, understand what application are running on the network, how do they perform, and then once they enable WAS, they can very easily see the impact of WAN optimization and see the improvements in response time and bandwidth utilization. And Network World have looked into it, tried it, and was just amazed by the simplicity and usability of this solution and wrote about it. So I would recommend our listeners to go to Network World and read the latest reviews on Cisco WAS.
Maybe a good little follow-up to kind of bring this conversation to a close is this. You mentioned the simplicity and ease of use that came up a few times in the Network World testing. All right, so talk us through this. If I take a WAS appliance out of the box and I'm getting ready to configure traffic, what are my steps that I need to go through to get it going?
Right, so when you look on a, you know, on a small deployment, this is where, you know, you need to get an IP address to it, right? This is where we have a very simple and short setup wizard, CLI-based, which you give the box, which is basic configuration, you know, IP address, default gateway. Another thing that you would do is give it the central manager IP address. So once you deploy a device, it connects to our central manager. The central manager actually has all the application policies. So it has some default settings for most of the known applications and has the definition of which level of optimization should be applied. Once you do that, the central manager can then group different devices in a common configuration templates. So it can be by regions, by sites, by organizations. And then for any further modification, you just do it once, and that is being propagated to all the devices in that device group. Also, from a monitoring perspective, we can do that per locations, per device group. So you can measure the performance from that WAS central manager very easily. But that's what it takes, right? Another important element is how do you make sure that traffic is actually being intercepted by WAS, right? So this is where you can just put the devices in line. And in this case, you don't have to configure anything. You just drop it between your router and the switch. And with our latest WAVE appliances, we even introduced new 10 gig interfaces. So even in the data center, with a very high capacity, you can just drop these boxes in line without any modification. For high availability, you can actually deploy multiple boxes. This is where you would use protocols such as WCCP, and we actually also simplified the way that it takes to enable WCCP or control the load balancing. Very, you know, just one page in the WAS Central Manager lets you enable it, and then you're up and going. And then the router or the switch will take care of load balancing between multiple devices.
What about one of the challenges that I've had in the past, which is a very practical sort of once the sale's completed, WAN acceleration has been cursed with its, you know, an inability to handle all protocols and has sometimes caused problems because of the way that it changes the TCP flows. There's always a fear that the WAN acceleration causes, you know, problems with the flows. And I've never been able to comfortably feel that WAN acceleration gave me what I call touch or feedback about what flows are going through the device. Have those troubleshooting tools been enhanced? Like the last time I did a WAN acceleration project, I just couldn't make it reliable enough, and I evaluated five different vendors, and none of them gave me a sense of reliability or, you know, capability to give me operational visibility into what was happening. Has that been improved?
Yes, and we have done several things. You know, in the WAS Central Manager, you can actually view any existing flows and understand what level of optimization was applied to them. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just TFO, the TCP flow optimization, or data with data simulation, LZ, or any specific application optimizers, or if the traffic was just passing through, right? Sometimes you can set different policies not to do anything on that traffic and just get monitoring to it. We also have actually an API on our central managers, and a lot of the application performance management vendors out there, such as CA with a NetQS product, companies like OpNet, CompuWare, Visual Networks, InfoVista, actually are integrated their solution with our central manager. So in their product, together with, you know, troubleshooting functionalities, they can get the same information that you would get with a WAS Central Manager. So you can exactly see for each connection what level of optimization it actually got, how well compression was working, and for troubleshooting purposes, you can actually even enable, you know, captures of traffic and review them with WAS-aware type of reporting. So you actually have either embedded tool in the Central Manager, or if you already have one of these vendors' tools in your network, they have some specific integration with WAS that can be used to get what you need from a performance perspective.
So better troubleshooting tools than there used to be in the future. You've touched on the topic there a couple of times, which I think I'd like to go into. So hopefully we've got some more time to deviate a little bit. You talked about TFO, which is TCP flow optimization. And you mentioned earlier in certain products that I think it was the VWAS product currently delivers TFO, but doesn't deliver application acceleration. Do you want to differ? Is that true? Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, actually, it's for WAS Express, not for VWAS. VWAS actually provides the complete functionalities. Our light version of WAS, which is embedded in iOS, includes, you know, what we call bandwidth optimization. Anything you need to get more bandwidth, right? Which includes our TFO, our DRE, and LZ. So, you know, different techniques to fully utilize your link and make sure we reduce the amount of traffic we send over.
Okay, let's just touch on each of those. Yeah. So for people who may be not completely familiar with WAS who might be tuning in, let's talk about those three. There was TFO, DRZ, and LF.
TFO, DRE, and LZ, right?
Okay.
So TFO is the transport flow optimization, right? When you look into wide area network that introduce either latency and packet loss, TCP, the way that it was designed, it can actually really get affected when you either, you know, lose a packet or when latency is there, right? When you lose a packet with TCP, it will drop the window size into half and then very slowly increase that, depends on the rate of acknowledgement that is being received,
yeah,
right?
It drops by 50% and then asymptotically increases the window on a parabolic curve.
Exactly. And the window itself can be very limited, and that's also based on the latency that you have on your link, right? So organizations can have very high-speed links, 100 megabit links, but if they have 100, 200 milliseconds, they will never able to actually fully utilize it. This is where TFO, TCP flow optimization, overcome all these challenges. It uses a smarter TCP over the WAN. And for example, it has a very large window size, so it can fully maximize your throughput on your high-speed connections. And when there's a packet by being lost, it won't drop to 50%. It'll have maybe a slight degradation, but then immediately, very fast, increase the maximum window size. So
yeah, it locally acts the flow window back to the client to say, yeah, a packet dropped there, but don't wind so far back. Just keep sending them and I'll take care of it. I'll manipulate the flow mechanism to get optimal transport.
That's correct. So that's TCP optimization, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then on top of that, we have either compression or caching techniques, right? This is our data redundancy elimination, DRE, which we have recently enhanced with our context-aware DRE. What it does, it's look for repetitive patterns and caches them either on disk. This is where we would have on our appliances, virtual appliances, and SRE, or in memory in the case of WAS Express, mm-hmm. and then uses and just send pointers over the wire to the other side.
Yeah.
Now, what we have done with our latest release of DRE, what's called context-aware DRE, we made it application-aware. What it means that for different application, you can apply different DRE techniques. As I mentioned, DRE uses the disk to cache repetitive patterns, right? But for some applications which are unidirectional in nature, for example, VDI that I mentioned, or video, or when data is being transferred from the data center to the branch, there's no really need to cache that content in the data center. So with context-aware DRE, you can either automatically detect the behavior of the app, or you can manually set it to unidirectional and then only cache that data at the branch side.
What you're saying is there's video artifacts or keystrokes, which are obviously going to happen. So for VDI, there's only a limited amount of data going up from the keyboard to the remote to the VDI server, and what comes back is repetitive. It's graphics all the time. So you can build a library of functions, strap them down to, you know, short codes, and they're just going to repeat. So you don't need to dynamically adapt always and burn up CPU cycles or build up shared libraries of those representations. You just say, this is what it's going to look like. I'm going to load a static library and know exactly what it's going to look like.
Right. And by the fact that we only cache to the branch, we reduce any overhead of read and write to the disk in the data center. We can have a much larger cache in the data center because we're going to cache content that is more transactional or bidirectional, both on the data center and the branch. So you get better performance.
Now, the logical extension of that is that you're going to, for VXI, VDI type applications, you're going to get much better WAS performance than you might expect then.
That's correct. The last element is LZ, which is additional compression that is being applied as well. And that's more of what gives you the performance for the first time the downloads, right? If it hasn't been cached before, this is where LZ compression can still give you very good compression. Yeah,
it's like running WinZip on the payload.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a bit of a simplification, but it's conceptually that. That's good. I knew that these things were there, but I wondered if, you know, I thought for the people perhaps who haven't seen this before, we could cover those topics so that we could talk about those things.
I think we covered really the whole product suite here for WAS, including a lot of functionality and a lot of new places that that WAS is going these days that it didn't used to. Now, what's compelling to me about all of this is I will confess, I was one of those guys that was saying, yeah, I don't really think I want to go down the WAS path. Now I'm looking at it going, because I'm actually facing a WAN optimization deployment next year, and going, I need to check this out legitimately. It just makes sense. I've got a lot of ISRG2s down there. I've really got to take a look at WAS now and not just assume that it started on a bad path way back in the day of 4.0 and continued. It seems like things are quite a bit different now. Greg, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's an opportunity there where, you know, my view on WAN acceleration is that it's usually more problems than it's worth. And the pain threshold for deploying it and getting it wrong, and people always saying, well, it's always the WAN accelerator that's broken. Maybe it's time to go back and have another look at that and see if I can change my song.
Well, Leah, thank you very much for joining us and giving us an update on WAS. And to all of you listening, I thank you very much for listening to the show this week. You can follow the Packet Pushers on Twitter at Packet Pushers. Visit packetpushers.net to read blogs by the growing Packet Pushers community. Subscribe to our RSS feeds and donate to the show. Email your comments or questions about this sponsored podcast to packetpushers@gmail.com. And remember that too much networking would never be enough.